And if you didn't know it, you happen to be really lucky to be here tonight because I'm one of my favorite people. Yeah, I'm putting a lot of pressure on. No, you know what? There's a mad couple from Fresno that I met years ago, and they are a lot of fun. And the better of that half is sitting next night to meet you. Sitting here with you. Anyway, please give a warm, sorry, kind of welcome to Tricia.
I'm Trish. I'm an alcoholic. Now, I think it's been a long time since I've been like in-person meetings. I did do a convention where I spoke on the parenting panel, but that's a little different. I talk shit about my kids all day, you know. But an AA speaker meeting is a lot. But I love the living room setup. It's a lot more intimate. Comfortable, but I didn't plan to say anything. I just came with my story and experience, so that's what I'm going to talk about. I was raised by alcoholics, and they not only had the disease, but participated in the lifestyle a bit. My mom and stepdad participated more than my father, who she was no longer with, And as a result, I got to go live with my grandparents, who were normies, and already, I had the ism talking to me in that household. You know, she smoked in the bathroom when she got dressed in the morning, and I would like to still puff up her cigarette, make sure I put it back exactly where she had put it, you know, and it was just already clicking in me, you know, by the time my mom got me back, it wasn't, I was about 11, and it wasn't a couple months after that I had taken my first drink. And it was just kind of on from there whenever I got the opportunity, you know, that just progressed, as my drinking career, you know, went on, I couldn't stay out of jail, you know. I was driving all the time. I don't know how I didn't get DUIs. You know, I got pulled over constantly for speeding. And, to get help, I'm white, you know. And as far as that goes. I definitely reached animalistic level, that incomprehensible demoralization that we reach here in our disease is crazy that it can be put into those words. Like, your whole time, you know, drinking can be put, summed up into those words. And I reached this, like, animalistic level. And to where, like, the best thing I could aspire to was to be like my mom. You know, someone who quit the lifestyle, but still different things. She still drank, you know, and she went to work, you know, and she stayed out of jail. And I was like, man, if I could just do that. Like, that was my greatest goal, you know, was just to do that. She wasn't happy, you know what I mean? Like, she just stayed out of jail and went to work every day. And, I got arrested and I got out, and this lady asked me before I got out, are you going to do the same thing you were doing that got you here? And this older lady who had been there for a minute, and I thought, like, I don't know. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do, you know? And that was the truth. Like, I didn't know what else to do than what I was doing. You know, even though my mom had taken me, she wasn't in the program, but she took me to my first meeting when I was 13. And I was really stoned. And there was this old seedy place in Fresno. It was called the ODAC. And they smoked inside. And I sat on the bench. And, you know, they did their readings, and it seemed pretty cultish to me. This old guy, who I'm pretty sure was drunk, knew all the readings by heart, so maybe not. And whenever somebody would fuck up during the reading, he would correct them all, you know. And they called on me, and I remember saying, I'll keep coming back if my mom makes me. And she was not sober, you know, but she knew she made me go, you know, and she made me go to the Kaiser program in order to still live with her, and I did that. I didn't go to meetings like I was supposed to, but I did attend the Kaiser program, and just to keep the roof over my head, you know. And but when that lady had said that to me, I started thinking, I was like, oh yeah, like my dad goes to meetings. My dad had 5 years sober at this time. And I watched a significant change happen in him. You know, he wasn't wearing dirty ass clothes all the time anymore. He smiled more. He had this kick, you know, and it seemed to be like lessened, you know. And he came to visit me in jail, you know, and yeah, just carried himself a little differently, and I did tell her I didn't know, probably, but that was in the back of my mind, was like, oh yeah, my dad changed, you know, and 4 days later, I was back in jail, and this time, the judge thought it was a good idea, too, that I go to meetings like my dad, so I did, you know, and I went to one meeting a day, because I was in my about to like spread out and shit, and I got one meeting, and that's what I went to do. There was something safe about that place, you know. For an hour and a half, I was safe, and it didn't matter that like everybody there, I was the youngest person there. It didn't matter, like whatever the fuck you said, I related to you in some way, and you know, in my, you know, drinking career, like, nobody said anything real. You know what I mean? We didn't ask each other, like, how are you feeling today, or give a fuck about the answer. You know, everything had a motive, and you guys seemed to care, which I found interesting. I wanted to hang out and see if that was real, you know, and you talked about real stuff, and I could relate. So I did. I hung out, and you know, it's crazy because, like I said, you know, my goal was just to be able to stay out of jail and have a job, and I couldn't seem to do that. I had no idea the level of peace that I would find in my head and heart by being here, and I still said, if I had done that, I would have sold my life really short. You know, I don't think I would have been able to do it, but if I hadn't taken that, I would have been selling myself really short. You know, I came and I met a guy, and you guys told me, he said, keep coming back, it gets easier, and, you know, staying sober does get easier. You guys also told me you have to change, you only have to change one thing, and that's everything. And so I saw a guy that I would have never attempted before, and I was like, well, that's something new. I'll try that. And he's sitting on the couch, and so yeah, like I grabbed him, and I was pregnant, like immediately. And so I was still doing fighting my court case, and you know, all I had to do was get a signature to every meeting I went to, and I went every fucking day, but I could not get it together enough to just get a signature. Like, I'm like, I'll get it tomorrow. I'm coming tomorrow anyways. You know, I only have to do so many a week. I come every day. And I couldn't. So by the time I went to court, I didn't have my signatures. And the judge said, so you go every day, you know, I'm pregnant at this time. Like, I'm going to go to prison pregnant.
And my husband was pissed. He wasn't my husband at the time. But,
you know, in my mind, when the judge said that, he said, so if you go every day, then you'll have no problem finding five members to come and speak on your behalf that they see you every day. Be back by one with five members, and you won't go to jail today. And I was like, holy shit, like, I'm fucked. Like, okay, so, like, I'll have to wear that shitty dress and make pregnant chicks wear a gel, but I'll get two mattresses. Like, I was already trying to make it okay, because that's what I did the whole time I was drinking. Like, I accepted things that were animalistic level because I wanted to continue to drink, you know? And I still had that mentality, you know? Nobody was going to show up for me. Five people? Are you fucking kidding me? You know? And my husband turned to me, he was like, are you going to at least try? Are you going to, like, call anybody? And I was like, okay, well, fuck, I guess. You know? Probably try. And we called five people. And we went and picked up five people. And they kept me out of jail that day. Not me, but this program. And I don't know if I wanted to stop drinking yet, but I wanted that. I wanted to be able to show up for somebody, like how you guys showed up for me. Because I couldn't even show up for my fucking self, obviously, you know, much less somebody else. So, when that happened, it lit a fire under me that I wanted to be here. I wanted to not only be here, but I wanted to be part of this thing that you guys have, you know, where you can walk into a room and know you're home. Know that, like, we went through the same struggles, no matter, like, what we look like, what we did. Like, we know that desperation and that we found hope here. And so I did. I started working steps and I tried to get as good of a foundation as I could before that baby came, because I did not want a baby for a day. And I always wanted to be a mom. And I wanted to be a good mom. So I started working the steps, and I got to three, and my sponsor relapsed, and that sucked, and so I got another one, and I got to four, you know, I had an interesting experience. Like, this chick gossiped a lot, and I got to the four steps, and everybody jitters with the fourth, you know, and so I met up with her to go for my fourth, for my fifth, and I didn't tell her everything, you know, I didn't trust her, and so I was scared, right? Because, you know, if you don't get honest, you're going to relapse. You know, that's what they tell you around here. And everything that they've told me around here so far, like, came true. You know what I mean? It did get easier to not pick up. And I didn't just have to keep coming back, you know. And you guys were there for me, you know. So I was scared that that part was true. And so there's this drunk guy that would come to our meeting every night. And then I was, you know, like, loophole, right? It's like, just tell one other person, you know what I mean? Like, doesn't have to be your sponsor, right? So I sat on the steps with him, and he was shit-faced, you know, and he was babbling about something, and I just spilled that shit to him, you know? I'm like, hey, I did it, you know? And that worked for me, you know what I mean? Like, that eased my mind a little bit, and it got me through to when I got a sponsor that I trusted, you know, and I was able to do it, you know. You know, my favorite step is the sixth step. You know, I felt like, man, when I got to the sixth step, I'm like, all right, here it is, man. Like, this is when my life's going to change. You know, I'm going to realize all the shit that's fucked up with me, and then I'm going to stop doing it, and I'm going to be fucking amazing, you know? And it was crazy because, like, these character defects that you look at, I had all this, like, predisposition of what that word meant, you know what I mean? And, like, this idea of, like, what selfishness is, you know, what all these words are, you know, and I'm like, oh yeah, I know that bitch. I'm not that bitch, you know. I'm humble, but no, I'm insecure. You know what I mean? Like, so I had to like look up these definitions to like detach from what I thought that word meant. And then I was able to see myself and, you know, and a lot did change, from that. My relationships with others changed significantly when I worked the sixth step. I was able to see where my insecurities didn't allow me to have compassion for others. You know, I started smiling at women. I realized that I never smiled at women. In my crazy mind, right, I'd be walking down the street, and if some chick smiled at me first, it's because she knew I could beat her ass. Like, what the fuck? Where did that come from? That's insane. And so I started smiling at women, and the first chick that didn't smile back at me got me, right? I'm like, oh, she thinks I'm a punk, you know? And I had to talk myself down. I'm like, God, everybody's fucking crazy like you, you know? Like, and but yeah, it's crazy. Like they say, it gets easier. You know, keep coming back, it gets easier, and it fucking does. Like, over. It's easier, but continuing to grow, it's fucking hard as shit. When you first come there, when I first came there, I grew insanely overnight. You know, I quit stealing. I didn't have to lie to you about where I was or whatnot. You know, I didn't go to jail anymore. Like, I had food in my mouth. Like, yeah, shit changed quick, you know, but the longer I stay here, and the deeper you got to dig to find that next layer to go back to grow some more. And it takes work. And, you know, this last year has been significant for me in that work, in that, you know, I don't like getting vulnerable at all. Like, people came here and they started just crying immediately. They're like, I got sober, and I started having feelings and crying, and it just wasn't my experience. You know, I got 10 years sober and I started crying and I'm like, oh hell no, I'm going to drink if this is what I signed up, this isn't what I signed up for. Turns out I had a thyroid problem and it made me emotional, so we kind of fixed that. But this last year, you know, I'm still very guarded and, you know, I've done things like quit manipulating in order to get what I need and things like that over time. But I still do these little things to control my little world so I feel secure and safe. And part of that is not sharing my feelings, you know. And I just don't see, I didn't see the value in opening up, you know. And yeah, this year has changed that a lot for me. I started opening up to others and you know, I didn't die because of it, you know? Like, I feel like sharing my feelings and getting vulnerable was definitely coming from a place of weakness and left you vulnerable and, you know, like, it's just crazy. It's not the world I live in anymore. You know, by telling you something about me that leaves me in a state of vulnerability, like, my life isn't at danger anymore. You know what I mean? The worst thing that can happen is, like, I get my feelings hurt, you know? And, I mean, if you ask me, that's death anyways. But it's not. You know what I mean? So yeah, being a mother of two and of a teenager, you know, who's 15 and she's walking through this like adolescent years sober, I'm like, how the fuck? You know, because she's got all the feelings and she is not quiet about it. And it's amazing to watch, you know, and I wish she was a little quieter about some of it. but yeah. It's amazing to watch, and she's, you know, I want to be in a spot where I'm able to get vulnerable with her you know, and so she can be vulnerable with me, you know, and learning from when I got here to growing now is definitely harder, and I got to dig a lot deeper, and it's more uncomfortable than when I first got here. You know, I mean, I did used to shake when I share when I first got here. And now I don't. I'm just like, you know, it's my story. If you can relate, cool. You know, but, yeah, you have to do some work to stay here, you know, not necessarily to stay sober, but, to grow. You know what I mean? And I want to continue to grow. If I don't grow, there's no point. You know what I mean? And I just no longer want to just work a job and stay out of jail. Like, I want to live free, you know, in my heart and mind and soul. You know, I want to be able to walk into any room and hold my head high, you know, and that takes work. You know, I'm grateful this place is here for me, no matter, like, what mood I'm in when I walk in, how many times I fuck up. You know, what step I'm on, for how long I'm on it, you know what I mean? And this program just offers a lot of grace, and I'm super grateful to be part of it.
Right on. All right, so we are now going to start the discussion portion of the meeting, and we'd like to hear from as many people as possible. So please just keep that in mind when you're sharing the room at your time, just enough so we can get everybody involved. And with that, I'm going to turn the meeting back over to Trish so she can help us people to share. And so I'm going to go online in person.
Okay. Yeah. Good evening, y'all. I'm Natty. We're social animals, and what I heard is, the problem is the drugs, the alcohol, and while I find recovery, I've been realizing that nobody's perfect here. Why? Because nobody decided they live in a past tense life, and they're perfect, right? So of course we're going to come in here, of course we're going to have calls, but we got to let you lose in order for us to clean. And you know, now I'm pushing my own path. I'm pushing my own past life because, when everybody's wondering, there's Christmas, the New Year, so Halloween, the drugs. So now I'm pushing my own path to sobriety. So I'm pushing my own path to sobriety because it's a struggle. Especially by us inheriting it. So by me inheriting and being able to cope and work with what I'm understanding, I have acquired a lot of tools from finance that's making me a better person today. I just want to thank God and God for you guys being able to know. For you guys, God, we're the miracle right here. We're the miracle, why? Because we're alive right now. We're alive. We could be dead. We could be anywhere laying down the street, walking out the street or whatnot. So, I just want to thank you all for being here and having me here and making me a part of y'all. And, I just want to say that, I'm happy where I'm at. You know, before when I was such a good influence, I thought I was happy, but it was just for a brief moment. It was just a brief moment, but then at the end of the day, I was always back to my miserable emotions. But my emotions that would push me to continue forward on using, but it would always end up at the same place. So pretty much I would just feel okay for a minute and then just come right back down. But, I just want to say thank you, y'all, and that's pretty much all I got to say. And I'm just still learning as I'm going. Thank y'all.
Thanks, Marshall.
Dave?
Oh, Dave, I'm a holler.
Hey, Dave.
Thank you for your share. I think I'm going to sleep tonight.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you,
Dave. Thank you. Craig online.
Craig, do you have an unmute yourself?
I'm still a big fan now. But I had this. I told her about that when I picked her.
fever and density. Cousins drunk at the house. He didn't care, you know? And, you know, cops, me and my friend are here. You know, got cops. But a cop called us to jail for charges for like that. But I called her today, tell her I'm sorry what I did in the past. She forgave me. You know, and it feels like I said, feel better now. Oh, Carol, wouldn't you? She learned. Had the kids with some other women, you know. Doesn't make a man to do that stuff. But for better being sober and telling her that. Now, cops are on the other side of the phone. No reason. My kids already grown. Doesn't matter, she's still a woman. She's a human being, but she's a human. That's a better. I don't know, I'm just nervous.
That wasn't Craig, was it?
No.
Okay. So Craig online, I don't think ever unmuted himself. Craig, if you're there and like to share, you can unmute yourself. We'd love to hear from you. Okay, maybe we'll come back to Craig.
Cecilia. I'm Cecilia, and I just, you know, I went to a convention yesterday, and it was fun seeing sober people, and that free burger, and it was just a great experience sober, you know, like, I was so miserable in my addictions that I thought I would never, like, have fun again. Mm. You know, I was, you know, in some, it was in an abusive relationship. I couldn't even leave the house or, you know, or if I look at, you know, it was horrible. And I haven't been happy since I, because I was in a program, Mothering Heights, and, haven't been this happy on the 2 months since I've been away from you. It's most 2 happy months I've been. You know, I was with him for 4 years, and, you know, and now I'm like, I feel free, like I broke the chains, and I'm a survivor, you know, so, I mean, I've been through all of this in the face of God. For the 2 months, I mean, I've almost been a near-death experience. I've been, you know, and I'm still here sober. Not one time since I've been out of the program for 3 or 4 days now. And not even one time that I even want to use, because my tool is to replay the tape back. That's what I've been using. And now I have sober friends, you know, where I can call. And I didn't have it before. I was 6 months clean before going, and I didn't have the support. I was sober, but I wasn't working. I wasn't had sober friends. I didn't have, you know. But now that I'm using the tools that I have here, these rooms are my home. These rooms is what I call family, because I didn't even have a visa since I was 15, and I finally got the point where to get a sponsor, and I do have a sponsor, and work the steps. I'm working step one, you know, and I've worked the steps before, but now I had to redo it again, because now there's new inventories that I got to look at myself, you know, step four is really hard. Everybody has trouble. Last time I was stuck in step four for a good 6-7 months. So I'm not looking forward for that one, but all the other steps are okay. But, you know, if the people keep saying, keep coming back, because this is where we grow, and this is where we learn from each other, from my stories and everything, you know. But, you know, you just gotta put one foot up in front of the other, because that's all we can do. Don't look back. You have to replay the tape to remind yourself, like, if you don't want to go to that darkness of place, then then do it, because that's a good sweet group, you know, take it, sometimes have to take it one second at a time. If you can't take one day at a time, is too much for you, then take one second at a time, one woman at a time, because that's all you got. You know, time is precious, and we gotta utilize this time to get back, you know, our life and live, you know, and fight for you guys, and fight for your kids, and fight for them, because regardless if you're building that relationship, that's all we can do, is make today better than it was yesterday, with that next direction.
How about Johnny?
Husband and wife was split up. As she said, it was addiction. I believe there's no way. Or alcoholism. Drinking all the time. It has to be cheating or something else. And lived up my hand. Alcoholic or drug use was a project for some. And when I started drinking,
sorry, Johnny, my friend.
Okay. Oh, dirty.
Tintin, I'm an alcoholic. Hey, Tintin. I was listening to CC share and I was thinking, yeah, this should be a fun fucking deal, you know what I mean? Like, I had a lot of fun drinking. I had a lot of really bad days, but, for me, I mean, honestly, there weren't a lot of good days, but it did, and if this is miserable, I don't know how I would stick around here, you know what I mean? It's like John's wearing that acting bot hat. That was a lot of fun, man. I think, you know, we have ways not to hunger, you know what I mean? Like, I get to do a lot of cool shit now because I'm sober, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of times in jail, when I was drinking, you know, they run the public's head up. You start going 60, 90, you know what I mean? And you just sit there, you know what I mean? I didn't have a lot of fun. I guess I'm just saying, like, it should be fun around here. I mean, it's okay to fuck up a little bit, too, you know? And not because that's my wife that was sharing. And if you listen and you read between the lines, right, basically, I had about 5 years and knocked up a newcomer right away. And if she met me, I was, like, running my own business, sort of. I mean, like, I wasn't doing anything myself. I was just having fun, you know what I mean? And I mean, I've fucked up all over the place around here, you know? That's part of my fucking, you know, story, is that I come in here, and you guys come to do one thing, and I figure out a better way to do it, and fuck it up for a while, you know what I mean? You guys ask me to be of service, and I say I'll do it, and I fuck it up real bad, but the meeting goes on, and everything seems to work out despite my best efforts to fuck it up, you know what I mean? And the program seems to work that way, too, and I that's okay, you know what I mean? Like, it's alright, you fuck up a lot, as long as you're having a good time, and my response to the there are 3 principles I can't fail around here, and it's try not to lie, give it a shot, you know what I mean? Like, and I took that to heart, I tried, I'm good at not lying to you, but I'm not very good at not lying to myself. Like, I have a hard time being honest with myself, you know, but I can be honest with you guys. The other one is don't cause harm. And that's critical. And I never really wanted to cause harm. You know what I mean? I think I have a good spirit. You know what I mean? But sometimes I did it anyways, and I've done that even in here, you know what I mean? I've had to take amends for that shit later. And then the other one, to be of service, whenever anyone asks you to be of service, the answer is always yes. And I think that one's critical because, you know, I listened to Marshall Sheriff, and I'm really good at two things. One, lying to myself. You know, I just mentioned that. And the other one is self-loathing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fucking very good at hating myself. And me being sober is not fucking something that I can fucking, that I should be doing. Right? Like, the person I am should be drunk. Under a bridge somewhere, a little bit of vomit, right? Like, cheap beer, you know? That's what should be happening. So there's nothing short of miraculous in the fact that I didn't drink all day today. It's a fucking miracle, right? And so, you know, that miracle requires maintenance. I have to do work in order to maintain that miracle. Despite all my fucking up and despite all my having a good time, I still need to do work too. And I won't fucking do the work because I hate myself, right? And the only way to get through that is to be as much of service as I can be all the fucking time. And by being of service to other people and helping other people get sober and helping other people whenever I can, not just helping people get sober, but even outside the meetings, at work, all that shit. Then I start to gain, like, I got a big ego. I notice that I'm not on camera. It pissed me off. You know what I mean? Right? That's... My ego saw that shit. You know what I mean? I got a big ego, and I need to fill it with shit that's worthwhile. I need to fill it with reasons to give a fuck about myself so that I'll keep doing the work around here so that I won't fucking go back out and make it. You know what I mean? And I need to have fun or else I won't fucking do it. You know what I mean? I'm a fucking heathen. I'm a fucking heathenist. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And so I need to fucking I need to make sure that I'm taking care of myself, having a good time. That I'm in service all the time, and you know, the lion shit, I don't know, you're a girl with that one, that's fucking tough. Okay. But, yeah, that's fucking coming back. Thank you, Sensei.
How about Kevin online?
Kevin!
Hi, for me, it's Kevin.
Yeah.
Hey,
he
comes.
Hello.
Hey, Kevin.
Hello.
Kevin, alcoholic.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, I was screwing up bad. I got my second DUI a few months ago. I got caught at work drinking because I couldn't function for a while unless I had a drink because I had the shakes and felt like crap. And so I got in trouble at work, and they sent me through my union to Changing Echoes. Just a month ago. And I know God sent me there. I needed to leave that place. I learned a lot of great tools, and I am dead set on being sober for the rest of my life. And I actually had to go to an AA meeting today, but I'm going to have to anyway, so I wanted to check you guys out. I just got home 20 minutes before you guys started, so I couldn't make it from Exeter over there, and I don't have a license right now anyway. So I just wanted to check in and said, here, I'm here. Changing Echoes is a great place. A lot of great tools. I've met a lot of great people. The counselors are awesome. And I'll probably see a lot more of you guys.
Thanks, Esther.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
Charlie?
Charlie, after turned out of college.
Hey, Charlie! You know, the fifth step doesn't say you can't talk to a drunk, it just says another person. You know, the important thing there is you are willing to do it. And, you know, that's half the battle, being willing. You know, somebody said, I was in the Shiva Center, and we were beginning to talk about these character defects, and I told this guy I had an anger issue, and he said, well, what's the problem? I said, well, I'm really sensitive. And, you know, people hurt my feelings. I'm going to tear their head off and shit down their throat. And he said, no, Charlie, you're not sensitive. You're fucking immature. Which was the real truth. You know, and I took from what you said about mind yourself. You know, that's when we get to the place that we start thinking about the development, thinking the livestock, or, you know, and that's that bit of fully conversation. I'm lying to myself, and I'm starting to realize that it's a lie. That's what I felt this week. You know, when you actually get the doctor's opinion, it talks about that. It says many don't want to continue to fight and make ultimate sacrifice, which means they commit suicide. And a lot of us do that. You know, rather than get sober and make the change. You know, this disease wants us dead, and it really doesn't care how it accomplishes. Whether it's overdose or, you know, health problems or suicide, it's out to kill us. But I've been here a long time now. I've had a great life. You know, I've done the work, and I continue to do the work. You know, Sunday night, I don't have to be, I'm not worried about drinking. But I'm sharing my experience, strength, and hope, because I need to do that. You know what? Because my mom, I'm going to be in Spain right in 4 seconds. That's happened because I've done the work and the program. I continue to do it. And there's no shortcuts here. You know, I've been looking for an easier, soft way for a long time. And it's in the book, man. Questions are in the book, answers are in the book. Questions are in the book. But, you know, my favorite saying in Alcoholics Anonymous was the first thing I consciously remember in that treatment center was, "Rarely have we seen a person fail us through the fall of our path." And I buy myself a chip every year. It's called a founder's chip. It's got a bottom pill on the front. It's got "Rarely have we seen a person fail on the path." And, you know, it just tells me that if I do work, I'll stay sober. And I don't want to go back to where I was when I knew I was lying. So, you know, that's an ugly place. I don't want to ever go there again. You know, a how I got to that point is, I had an incident that some of you that have been around a long time ago, my incident, I put the beginning to the word "beat yourself up," because I literally did that to myself. But anyway, you know, after that night, I was going to prove to myself that I could go to a bar, which happened to be Santa Fe Station at the time, and have a drink and go home. And I never did that. But every morning I'd get up and I'd have the same conversation with myself. "Charlie, you're not going to drink today. You know, get your shit together. I'm from a family of loggers and miners, and you just, that shit doesn't happen, right? You put your bootstraps up and you're not." I was having my conversation with myself, and I remember saying, "Damn, I'm really not going to drink today." And then I know now what happened. God said, "But you know you are." And then that was devastating. Because I realized that I did not have the power to not drink. And I was going to drink no matter what happened. And I wasn't long after that, a couple more incidences, and I made a phone call, and we said I was in a treatment center. You know, I've done the work, I do the work, I have one sobriety date. I only have one sobriety date. Long time ago. But, you know, here I am on Sunday night doing the work, man.
Shelly. Hi, everybody. I'm Shelly, and I am prepping up.
Hey,
Shelly. In this meeting, so we're, I'm still doing online, but the I told you guys, music was too loud in my apartment. My wall was vibrating, and I was getting pissed off with my headache, and I just took a couple hours of my. Somebody's got to say, "I'm going to go to a game." But okay, Dan, I got you. Thank you, Trisha. I really enjoyed your shares. But I wrote, you know, I like to take notes because, you know, people always share and say something you need to hear, you know, and you said that you can't get peace of mind and peace in your head and your heart. That's how you put it. And that's one of the reasons why I stayed here. I didn't even know I needed peace in my head. You know, when you got all that drama going on in your head, you're thinking of half of that noise because you're doing shit you ain't doing. So, you know, all that kind of family, you get a little sanity back in your life. You know, you said, never a desire to get better. See, I suffer from that too. It's called mediocrity. You know, I got a little actress trying to teach me Spanish, and it says, you know, if you want the challenge, I would say, what's up with that? Why do you want to ask you to learn some French challenge? So I'm trying to find out, do I get challenged? Of course I do. Do I grow from it? Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, stop fighting the process. You know, be in here to win. You know, and that's what you were saying, you know. And just amazing, call the five people. You know, we can do the thing. Who's going to be as single as possible, but AA has always showed up for me. Mm-hmm. Look at all you people in my Jesus over time. And I need all of these people to get done with Jesus over. Five people, and they come.
Yeah.
Because they know what it's like to be free. You know, I'm grateful for AA, because AA got a good attitude. I didn't have it. AA shows up to me, you know, until I'm able to show up for myself. You know what I mean? I had to be taught that here, how to show up for myself, how to grow. You know, I had no idea. I didn't know what the choice to grow was, so I drank. That's what I did. You know, and being vulnerable, yeah. Step five. And I was crying in the media earlier today because I recall what I went through with what I put my son through. Who now, I leave him alone in life. And most of his life I have not been in it. You know, I've lost custody and run rights of my son. A lot of you guys, I don't know what your situation is. The first thing people want to do is get back in here. You didn't want to get your kids back. Oh, at any cost. You know, you want to be a screwed up parent? You know, that's even sober to make it even worse. You know, we're only thinking about ourselves. You know, you ever think that your kids don't need to see you anymore? You know what I mean? Just so they got peace of mind. They don't got to worry about, uh-oh, here comes scary daddy or mommy, you know. You know, I've seen kids. I've worked for child welfare before. The kids come back after them visits sometimes and decompensate. So, you know, I may not be the best answer to them. You know, somebody else may need to do. And God forbid I'm not being responsible. But my second kid, I had her in recovery. And I'm still, you know, in her life today. But I hope I'm a quality parent because of that. Because you guys taught me how to do that. You know, my disease is growing. It's progressive. I just want to mention that tonight. If you haven't learned anything about alcoholism, it's progressive. So, the people you brought in here is growing in King Kong. We're just not fighting and duking it out with them, but if I go back out there, I'm going to be fighting King Kong, and he's way bigger than I am, right? So, that's why we have to go. That's why we have to do the work. Because what worked yesterday won't work today. What worked last week won't work. What worked last year won't work this year. And I'm finding that out real fast, and it don't matter how much time there. Yes, being immature, thank you for mentioning that to me, because I would like to myself say, yeah, I'm not immature. And that's usually my problem. No matter what level I'm on, I'm just, you know, don't know how to deal with problems and stuff. And because we can stop when the lies come up. Thank you for saying that, too. Yeah, suicide is an option. So, because I mean, I got a disease that's cunning, masculine, powerful, sneaky, patient, deadly. Bam. That's a setup for life. You know, and I was hanging around people. I got in here before I got killed by domestic violence. So, that's a yes for me. You know what I mean? Who wants to go back to that? That I'm going to pass, and I thank you all for being here.
Bill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, sorry. I know. I'm gonna share, right? I have my name on the podcast, so I'm an alcoholic. I usually don't. This is not my home group, but I'm kind of popping here. I do so a couple times, and that was pretty inspiring. You know your testimony, and. Yeah, this recovery, it's like a never-ending, journey. I think that's, Like, it's not supposed to be, like, easy, you know, but, like, I'm really, like, I'm liking the effects of being on this, path to, through, sobriety. Like, I'm liking, not just like the being like, okay, I have a driver's license back and I actually have a job I get a paycheck every week now, but like, the way I carry myself is, it's pretty, like night and day, you know? I almost like, get up in the morning and they're like, man, complain about, like, why are they making me do this at work, why is my insurance thing employing me, and I, just complain about, stripes, you know, of everyday life, and now, I don't, like, just, I'm not just, like, in a negative, like, mindset, you know? I actually, like, start to, be more appreciative of, the things, that this program has, gave to me. This is all for me currently to work in these steps so I can, hopefully someday get the next man, you know, in a willing to deal with this responsibility for me right now to give them like an alternate life in drug institutions or, you know, that's either you're either growing, right, or you're kind of young, you're not. So yeah, thank you.
Melissa online.
Melissa is not connected. Melissa has left the building.
Desiree.
Yeah, hello. Hello, alcoholic addict. Thank you, Trisha, for your share, and everybody else too. I related to a lot of things, you know, that I heard today, and I remember, you know, like being on the defensive side as well. You know, like I would always, when I was in the drinking too, I would always be like asking for problems. It, like at first, I would start off as like the quiet, shy girl in the corner of the bar, you know, and then I'd become like throwing bottles at the bartender and stuff like that, you know. So it was like a complete like change, you know. And I'm not the type that fights, you know. I don't fight at all, but with addiction, I do. I would like look for problems and, you know, ask, like if somebody was staring at me too, I'd be like, what the hell, you know, like what are you looking at? And now I've been sober like, you know, a couple months, and it doesn't bug me no more, you know. Yeah, it was hard for me to get off the addiction, you know, because I've been an alcoholic for 13 years, you know, and an addict for about 4. And I actually have 2 DUIs and twice in prison when I've never even looked for trouble, you know, so that was a big, like, it should have made me change, you know, but it didn't. It still kept me drinking, and drinking caused me to become an addict also, and I think a lot, I don't know why lately, I've been thinking a lot about my DUIs, because my second DUI, I had a device on the truck, and I actually had a sober friend blow on the device I had on there, because I had a sober friend blow, and that's where I crashed my truck, you know. It was a miracle I was alive. My truck was completely crushed from the front, you know, so it's something thing that I've been thinking about lately, because I came across the pictures the other day. I actually had pictures of my truck, and I was like, whoa, you know, it's crazy how in my addiction I was actually looking to die. I didn't want to be alive, you know. I was always like very unhappy, and my life turned around when I decided my it turned. I don't know. I made a complete turn around when I decided to get a sponsor, you know, and start the steps and actually let myself go, you know, like just be willing to do it. So it's making me change, feel so different about myself, you know. I feel love now. I actually feel love for myself, and that's something I was never able to say back then, you know. And it feels good to be. I'm on step three, so I'm fresh to everything, you know. But I still, I enjoy listening to Cher's because that motivates me all the time. Makes me feel like, you know, the meetings always make me feel I belong. We all relate in some way or another, you know. But yeah, that's all I got. And thank you. I'll keep coming back with that.
Tiffany? I need to give up. I'm not all.
Hey, Gino.
Yes,
yeah. Hey, Gino, come around the corner so we can hear you.
Come on, this one.
There you go.
What's up, Bill?
Hey, buddy.
My name is Gino. I'm not all.
Hey, Gino.
Yeah, today spent time with my son. I'm also a pet pine. I'll be out on the 8th next month. 102 days today.
Right.
For me, you know, but life is good today. I got peace. I got happiness and joy right now today. The more I seek my higher power, the better it gets, you know. My sister has a picture on the wall that says, don't dream about it, work. Don't dream for it, work for it. Mm-hmm. And you gotta do the work. You gotta do the work. You gotta do your steps. You have to put on a daily basis. Because, you know, for me, if, you know, if you stay stagnant, you know, my spiritual maladies come back. They bark at me, they yell at me, you know, and you gotta work on your parents' defense. And for me, with my higher power and myself, it's fine. The guy at that time, you know, just helping the newcomer, the guy that's ready to come in the house, is a really good sense of, being out of, you know, your own, not being selfish, you know, just helping that next person, you know, with whatever he needs, because he knows he's coming in shaking and throwing up. So, it reminds you of where you used to be, you know what I mean? And, to see them grow, you know, and especially, you know, the guys that are, he knows what's done and he knows what's not, you know. That's just life, you know, when you're in a home like that. You see the reality of addiction, you know, how devastating. And the chaotic, how it tears lives apart, you know. I spent 20 years in oil fields, and it was my drinking that taken and given and taken. You know, drinking, it took everything, and I would get sober, get sober. But I never worked on the inside. So the inside is what's the most important thing for me in this, to advance in life, be successful. You have to, you know, consult with your higher power on a daily basis. Get into the made, you know, God and the alcohol this time, good times this year is what I need. Helps me. The books, you know, we alcoholics help each other. It feels good to be in rooms like this to, you know, share, you know. Experience the of folks. That's how we grow. We learn. We live. Because we're not promised. You know, so for me, I'm trying to live like this. I didn't have it anymore. And I challenge myself on a daily basis. And at night, I reflect. You know, how can I be a better man tomorrow if I wake up? You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. I'll take another one.
Thanks, Sharon.
There was one thing that you said that really stuck out to me. I really believe you have to keep doing work the longer that you're still at work, it's just more hard to get. That resonated with me so strongly. March 27th, 2020 is there.
Right on.
And that was after I was sober for 3 years and I realized that I didn't really have some alcohol and I was like, okay, because you did that thing where you light yourself and you go to school on alcohol. Mm-hmm. Which I realized in that and it was a whole mess. But I've been sober now 2 years and I'm noticing that the more work that I put in, the harder it is getting to start seeing those perceptions and making bigger changes in therapy. And I'm lucky that my job allows me to help people outside of myself, so not like keep that ego that I have, that I need to keep, because I need to be useful to other people in that respect. So, but I need these things, I need all these people here to talk to me, hear different stories, and hear different things that are involved in all this thing. I don't be here for a different and I'm just trying to find my footing in the area. I'm kind of new to burying some purpose for burying some. I'm trying to find my footing and where I continue to grow away. Anyway, that's all I got. Thank you.
Right on.
Don't want to just.
Okay, I'm an alcoholic. It's the last one.
Yeah.
I'm glad to be here. Welcome. Glad to have some new friends with us here tonight. I hope that you'll come back and be regular friends with us tonight. It's kind of funny. I find a lot of what feel like contradictions in AA. You know, like. It just doesn't make any sense to me that I would be happy about being sober. I mean, because I really enjoy getting loaded, man. I'm just saying. What I found is that life was just getting too complicated, too painful. Doing things my way that. I finally agreed to get a sponsor and go through the steps and actually try. But the reason that I did that was so I could prove that it worked. I don't know if you guys have mixed up motives sometimes. And the funny thing about it is that I haven't had a drink since. I didn't expect. I didn't expect a lot of the things that have happened in my life sober. Trish talked about thinking about that you're humble, and step six was really big for me too. Step six, I think you'll laugh about this because it's silly, right? But when I finished the fifth step, and my sponsor said, "Okay, now I want you to." Write down a list of your, shortcomings, your character defects, and I was kind of thought really hard. I couldn't come up with any. So what he did was he gave me a link to a webpage that had hundreds of them listed. And as I began, they were listed alphabetically. The first one that really just jumped off the page to me was arrogant. And you know why I jumped off the page? Because I thought, yeah, I don't like arrogant people. I really don't like arrogant people. And then I thought about it for a minute and I thought, well, let's see. I'm one of those guys that swears the rules are good for you, but they don't apply to me. That kind of sounds like arrogant, doesn't it? So what I began to learn in that process is that I really don't like the things
that I see in you that remind me of my worst character traits, right? And so I've learned that when I get upset with one of you, it's because you're giving me an opportunity to grow. You're showing me something that I can change. And what I found with this concept of contradictions, what I found was that not only was I insecure and mistaking that for humility, but I was arrogant too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we talk about this idea of being a what is the phrase? The I'm an egomaniac with an inferiority complex, right? It's like I'm on either end of any spectrum. I can't just be normal, right? In my mind, and the more that I learn about myself and about other people is that I'm a whole lot less on either end of the spectrum than I am, than I think I am, right? I'm a lot more typical than I really want to be sometimes, you know. And I don't know. And you'll have to tell me if you feel the same way, but. When my wife talks and she shares her experience, strength, and hope, I just beam. I'm not responsible for any of it, but I just take such pride that this woman of magnificence is related to me in some way, right? And I bet you felt that way tonight because, Trish, you are a great demonstration of the change that can happen in people's lives. And you know, Trish was scheduled to come here and speak for us several months ago, and she wasn't feeling well. And I think what most of us would do at a time like that is we just call in, right? We say, hey, I'm not feeling well, you know, deal with it, right? She says, I'm not feeling well. And you know what she did is she introduced me to a new friend. She actually sent someone. She wasn't feeling well, and she still fulfilled her responsibility. And you know what? It's people doing things like that that teach me who I want to be. Right? I mean, that's the kind of person I want to be today. If I commit to doing something for you, and for whatever reason, because stuff comes up, I can't make it, I want to be the guy that makes sure that it gets done. That's who I want to be today. Hey, I didn't see that shit coming. When I met you guys, I didn't have no notion about, I didn't care about being responsible. I didn't want any responsibility. And it doesn't make any sense. There's some blessings. Right? The blessings that we get today, they just don't make any sense. But I was talking to Trish before the meeting, and we were kind of talking about how long it's been since we drank, and it's just hard to imagine that much time has gone by. It really is. And there is absolutely a valid point of view that says that as you stay sober, that sometimes growing gets more complicated or difficult. I'm not disputing that point of view, but I will tell you, my life is not very difficult today. I really only struggle as much as I choose to struggle. This is a little bit cavalier, and it's probably even a little arrogant, right? I think there's a little bit of truth in it too. And I'm going to say that if you're doing this AA thing and you're not having fun, you might be doing it wrong. I don't mean to suggest that it's always fun and games, because we do have to confront some things we don't want to face about ourselves. But you know, the amazing thing is the joy that comes after we go, oh, duh, yeah, I guess I could probably do something different. Because we don't have to stay in those old ways. I love the life that I live, and I'm glad that I'm here. Thanks. Seems I hogged all the freaking time. Yeah. Sorry about that, guys. You ever do that with your sisters? You know, Mom, you ate all the cereal. All right, sales service. Sorry. The Valley Group encourages sponsorship and service to our company.